Hi there, and thanks for joining us. Coming up on today's podcast, two people who've just emerged from UCC's Ignite programme, both of whom are focused on food. And we hear about the conference on mixed martial arts that's coming to Cork. I'm Jonathan Healy, and this is Red Business.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
Now, I'm hungry, as you always know, and we always praise people who bring food with them. So I'm delighted to welcome to the studio Jen Hurley from T4 Adventure.
Thanks for having me, Jen? I'm very good, thank you.
Now, you have food, but we're going to come to that in just a minute because it's actually cooking away there, is it?
It is, yeah.
Okay, and I'm intrigued as to what it is because it's a brown package that is nondescript, and that's all I'm going to leave it with at the moment. Tell me about T4 Adventure. What do you do?
So T4 Adventure, it's a line of really tasty, nutritious and convenient meals for the outdoor adventure.
Okay, so in other words, you're halfway up a mountain, you don't have a huge amount of time to get your poached eggs going, so you need something to bridge the gap.
Yeah, you need to sustain yourself. And this, I want to be clear, it's not a snack bar. These are full meals. So, you know, you might get those bars that, you know, say it's a full meal in it, but this is actually a full meal. You're getting a chicken stew, buffalo stew, bean stew and mashed potatoes, all with just hot water.
That's a little bit more than a pot noodle then.
Yeah, definitely.
So is it dehydrated in the packet?
Yeah, so it's dehydrated, but we do it by way of freeze drying it. So it's a bit more focused on quality. So we retain a lot of the nutritional qualities that way, about 95%. Of it is retained through freeze drying as opposed to maybe 70% through dehydration.
Now, because I don't climb mountains or trek through the wilderness, I tend to be close enough to food as a rule, but you've obviously spotted a gap from your own experience in life, have you?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
So what have you done? What have you climbed or crossed or swam through?
It's more what I tried to do. So I moved to Ireland about 3 years ago from New York and I lived in Kerry first. So my goal was to walk the Dingle Way. And as I was trying to pack my bag, I found that the food that was available to me kind of didn't really taste right, didn't meet my nutritional qualities.
You should have known that if you'd come to Cork first, you would have solved all these problems.
Oh, Cork's been so good to me, so I am glad I found my way here.
So you didn't have what you wanted, which was nutritious food as you were trekking through the Kerry countryside.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a qualified chef, so the penny dropped for me there. It's like, why don't I just make it myself? And so that's what I started to do.
Okay, it's not easy, though. You know, you had to learn how to freeze-dry stuff.
Yeah, the science behind it's very complex.
So what help did you get then to get to the point you're at?
I went through a lot of support, and a lot of it came from moving to Cork. So I've been through a lot of the support programs, like from the local enterprise office, the Excel program, recently the Ignite program, where I won Business of the Year.
Okay, because there's someone coming in from Ignite in just a minute as
well. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and you got involved with Foodworks then as well.
Yeah, that's my next big step.
So tell me what Foodworks is.
So Foodworks is a brainchild of three agencies. It's of Bord Bia, Chagask, and Enterprise Ireland. And so I am a lucky six this year to be chosen of companies across the country that show proof to be an innovative product that has global export potential.
Yes, in other words, it's the equivalent of a high potential startup then,
yeah, exactly.
in the food world. It's a complicated field you're in, because would this work on the top of Everest, for example? If you brought a few of these with you, could you be enjoying your little lamb stew while you're about to finish the ascent?
You absolutely could. Yeah, so the boiling water, you know, there's a bit of finesse to it when you're at higher altitudes and everything like that. But yeah, this food is meant to be carried to the tops of mountains, to the middle of the oceans, and anywhere in between.
And taste-wise, if you are, you know, does altitude affect the taste, or have you factored that in?
It affects the taste personally. So people might be getting altitude sickness, or they just might not have a hunger for food. So it becomes difficult when the food that's out there already tastes not so great. So when you have something that's palatable and actually reminds you of home, it makes it a lot easier to feed yourself.
When you started as a chef, when you said you were a chef, did you have a special type of food that you used to prepare, or were you a general sous chef or a commis chef?
I was general chef, and I enjoy working the brunch. So when you were talking about poaching eggs, it makes me laugh because that's my second favorite thing to do.
Okay, and as a man who has very rarely successfully poached an egg, I am in your own. I can do everything else to eggs except poach. So let's talk about the actual package now. So yep, you've been letting this brew here for a while. Do you want to throw it over to me there?
Sure thing. So this is what it was like when it was dry.
Okay. So that's the dry product here. Now, this is radio, so you're going to have to bear with me, listener. I'll shake it. So that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, so there's a zip that you just have to pull apart.
It's like a little Ziploc thing, is it? Okay, very good. So now I have to say, it doesn't look that appetizing now. So we've got
a... You can have a smell of it as well.
Oh, that does smell nice, to be fair. And that, but it is clearly dehydrated.
Yeah. It definitely looks like a food confetti.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd need to do something with that, all right, in its raw form. Yeah. But this is the finished product now, isn't it?
Yeah, and we'll give you a spork for good measure.
You've given me a very impressive spork here. Yeah. This is definitely the best spork I've seen.
So there you go.
So this is the actual finished product now.
And you'll notice, so all we've done is add hot boiling water to it. So the weight has already changed because the water has absolutely sucked everything back
in. Yeah, it's significantly heavier. It smells fab. What is this?
So that's our chicken tagine.
Okay, now bear in mind the rule of Red Business is you have to bring food. So you're already in. Which side of the spork do I use?
Personal choice.
Personal choice. I'm going to go with the spoon side.
Dig,
Okay, so it's obviously piping hot because it's just been rehydrated with boiling water. So you're going to have to fill the gap here now that I'm eating.
So what you're eating, you have Irish free-range chicken in a really veggie-packed base sauce of tomatoes, leeks, celery, and then it's floating around with peppers and sweet potatoes. And
this is gorgeous. And I don't know what I was expecting because it is a kind of it's a brown paper bag, effectively, but it is really good.
I'm glad that you enjoy it. I'm really proud of this dish and all the other ones that we've come up with.
As I continue to eat, which is kind of gross, did you enjoy Irish ingredients? Because where are you from originally?
New York.
Okay, yeah. So New York is good food, as we know. It's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. But when you got here, were you taken in by Irish food?
Yeah, so I grew up visiting all the time, but definitely, like, there's a great ecosystem, especially around Cork, about specialty food products. People really take care in how they produce their food and how they present it to people, and I find that that really resonates with me. And as far as taking this worldwide, like, I'm really excited to, like, fly the Irish quality flag everywhere I go.
I've just burnt my mouth on it. Going very well, other than that.
Yeah.
It's really tasty, though. I have to say, that is really, really good. Good tucker, as they would describe it. So how can people get this? Or is this on sale yet?
It's not on sale yet. So we're looking to launch, especially on our website, January of 2020. And then we're getting into specialty retail shops probably around March, in time for the new outdoor season.
And the outdoor-y types, when you give them this, I presume you've done a bit of road testing on it.
Yeah, definitely.
This goes down well, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they say they can't believe how much crap they've been eating all along.
I can imagine so. Yeah, I mean, you've climbed a bloody mountain. Now, nearly left with is an energy bar, which is not good. We'll talk about Foodworks as well, because they have an event coming up Tuesday the 15th of October in Chagask in Moor Park. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in joining the programme and attending the event, you have to register at foodworksireland.ie. You say you're one of six companies that are up for, what is it? What's the final prize?
So there is no final prize, but we do have a pitching event at the end. So, like, the experience and expertise that we've received through consultancy and everything has been absolutely invaluable, like, to our growth and everything. Each company is at a different stage, but we're working towards writing a final business plan, and then we have two pitches now coming up in November investors.
Fake the pitches, just give them the dinner. That is enough to get you over the line at a bare minimum. Jen, I wish you and everybody involved with T4 Adventure the very best of luck. Thank you for feeding me such good food.
Thanks so much.
I'm
going
to leave it cool down a small bit there now before I enjoy the rest of it. But for now, thanks for joining us on Red Business.
Thanks.
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.
So that's one type of food, rehydrating. It's still very tasty, although it did burn my mouth with it. But as you heard there, Jen came through the Ignite programme, and I'm delighted to say I have somebody else who is just after going through said same programme with me here, Paul O'Shea of Peckish. How are you?
I'm good, John. Thanks very much.
We have met many times before.
We have indeed, yeah.
Because Peckish has been your brainchild for quite some time.
It has indeed, yeah.
Tell me, what is the Peckish? It's an app, isn't it?
Essentially, yeah.
Yes. So what does it do?
So essentially what we found out is that consumers with different lifestyles and different diet requirements, so essentially you're talking about vegans, vegetarians, celiacs and people with food allergies, actually have quite a difficulty finding places that they can go to eat out that can adequately meet their dietary requirements. And I found out as well, if you're on Just Eat, Deliveroo, Marvin, you literally can't type in burger, you can't type in chips, you can't type in vegan curry. So Peckish is a platform that connects restaurants to different consumer groups and those with different lifestyles and different diet requirements. So we do this through a food search engine. So that's what Peckish is. You can go on to Peckish, you can type in exactly what you want. You can search for specific menu items, ingredients and allergens, and you can find exactly what you want within 3 clicks and under 10 seconds.
Okay, so in other words, for people who, and let's face it, this could be very serious. They may have a medical allergy.
Absolutely.
Which means that, you know, for example, they could be extremely allergic to nut. So therefore, they have to go be very careful about where they eat. So your app helps them make informed decisions.
Yeah, so for a nut allergy now, somebody could go on and just click under allergies, nuts, and then they can search for whatever they want and they can guarantee that there'll be no nuts in that dish then essentially.
Okay, why did you come up with it?
So I suppose I've worked in bars, restaurants and hotels throughout my time as a college student, like paying for my fees, living at home.
You still look like a college student.
I know, yeah. So I've, like, to this day now, I still work in a restaurant part-time, and it was kind of, I was kept getting the same questions about the allergen information, about what specials do you have tonight, about the menu contents. Like, most of my time would be spent explaining dishes to customers inside in restaurants. And it just kind of came to me one night. I was like, well, that a lot of this information isn't getting across to the consumers. As well as that, the businesses are having trouble connecting to these consumers, like telling them about constant menu updates, that they source all their ingredients locally, that their sauces are made in-house. They can cater for celiacs, they can cater for vegetarians, they can cater for vegans. And I think it was an amalgamation of that. And I was on Just Eat one night with my buddies trying to get food. And they said, what do you want? But I said, oh, just give me a chip cheese curry. I don't mind where it's from. But we actually figured out you can't type in a specific menu item into Just Eat, Deliveroo, Marvin. And even with their filters.
You have to go to the actual place, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, you could. So if you have a dietary requirement, you have to go into Google. You have to check it on TripAdvisor. You have to maybe ring up the restaurant. And that can take anywhere from 20 clicks to 3 to 5 minutes.
The hunger gone off you at that point.
Yeah, exactly. You'd set it for something else.
So how do you make money from something like this? Do the restaurants have to pay to appear on the service?
Yeah, it's a pay-to-play service essentially. So they pay a monthly subscription fee, a very low fee now in comparison to what they're paying for other services. So they pay every month so that they can promote their dishes, they can update their existing menu items, they can promote any daily specials they have. Because we actually found out from, I think I was after speaking to nearly every restaurant owner here in Cork, and I found out that about 3 in 4 businesses do a daily special every day. Or essentially they're selling a new item every day and it's written on a chalkboard inside there, or they might post it on Facebook or Instagram, but you're up against the algorithms then, you know. So you actually might know that your favourite food is on sale across the road from you.
And can you click through on the Pekish app then to order it from the restaurant, or do you have to leave it and go somewhere else?
You have to leave it and go there specifically now at the moment, but we would be looking later on to maybe doing a partnership with existing delivery services. And we're after building our own order reservation system essentially, so you can make up your specific order, attach it to your reservation, so you know how much your receipt's going to be ahead of time. The manager will know how much the booking is worth, and the chef will know how much stock is needed for a given night. But we'll be rolling that out later on.
Have you any particular dietary requirements yourself? I mean, is there something that you have to avoid on the menu?
No, I have no particular requirements myself. I have no allergies.
So you've genuinely just looked at other people doing this and going, there has to be a better way.
Yeah, because I just wanted to build a food search engine for me and my pals essentially, and for everyone out there. And then I figured out that people who would see the most benefit in this is the people who have the biggest issue finding out where their next lunch is coming from, or can they specifically eat it or not.
So you've just come out of Ignite at UCC. To those who are unfamiliar, what is Ignite?
So Ignite is a graduate innovation programme. So from my perspective, I finished computer science and I went straight from going from computer science into Ignite. So to kind of help you with weekly workshops on sales, marketing, and they've entrepreneurs come in talking to you every week. They have advisors and they teach you how to turn your business into an actual strategic business plan, essentially. And they'll kind of teach you how, why and when you need to raise investment for your business as well.
OK, and, you know, it's a daunting road. When I was in college, I made the point many times, educate you, throw you out, best of luck. Did you find it was a much more nurturing environment when you were trying to grow this business, or at least get this idea out of your head?
Absolutely, yeah. I taught it. I think it's kind of a fundamental process of somebody going from straight from college into business. So like I was always working part-time in the restaurant anyway, throughout my years in college, and I was still doing it out throughout the year, so it wasn't much of a change for me, but it was kind of a change of what I'm doing during the week. I wouldn't be in attending lectures and workshops. I'd be out talking to consumers or out talking to customers, doing market research, building the platform. Yeah, it was really exciting. I must say I loved it.
So tell me, what's next? You've come out of Ignite. You're now getting ready to launch this app. When will people be able to download it, and where will they be able to find it?
So right now you can go on to Peckish HQ on Instagram and find more information about it, or go on to peckish.ie. But we'll be launching hopefully now next month in October with around 40 to 50 businesses here in Cork City on board.
Okay, and are you hoping then, how many users are you expecting, or where do you think, because I'm looking at this code, this could work anywhere. It doesn't necessarily have to be an Irish company or a Cork company.
Absolutely. So we'll just be kind of in the Cork and Munster region in the first couple of months, but we aim to scale nationwide now next year. I would aim to launch internationally in 2021 as well.
Okay, and why do you call it Peckish?
I suppose... that's a good question. I had a couple of different names for it at the start, and I kind of found that so and so was taken, or this and that were taken.
Peckish, find your food. You're peckish, you're hungry, find your food. It's very self explanatory to me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I kind of just looked up. I looked up hungry in a thesaurus one day, and I liked the sound of peckish, and peckish.ie was available at the time, so I said, let's jump on that. And if there's any other restaurateurs or people who work in restaurants listening at the moment, feel free to get in contact with me. My email is paul@peckish.ie, and we'd love to help out your business as well.
Paul O'Shea, peckish.ie, wish you the best. Look, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
The only show in town for Cork business, Red Business.
Cork has attracted a lot of interesting conferences in the last 12 months, but there's a good one planned for leap year. That's February 29th, 2020. It is called FightCon. With me, we've got the two co-founders, Jay Woodward, who's returning to the podcast, and Cian O'Leary, whose first time it is. Gentlemen, you're both very welcome. How are you?
Thanks a million for having us. Thanks. Very well indeed.
FightCon. I mean, are we going to see fellas baiting the living daylights out of each other, Jay? Is that the plan?
No, it's not the plan at all. Although we're massive fans of that, it is not the plan at all.
You're not going to get down and dirty in the octagon yourselves.
No. So what it is it's a conference for MMA fans. So Cian came with the idea to me in March of this year with the idea of Comic-Con, but for MMA fans. So fighter meet and greets, panel discussions, kind of expo stands, that kind of stuff of all suppliers in Europe of MMA gear and fight combat gear.
Okay, so this is a big business, but to many it's alien, isn't it? Mm. They don't understand. I don't understand it, let's put it that way. So what exactly would draw people to that?
Well, see, I hate saying it, but Conor McGregor was a big, like, he helps the draw to a lot of casual fans, but to hardcore fans who know this and know the fighters we're bringing, it's growing every year. Every year it's growing, MMA in Ireland and the UK. The UK is massive anyway, but it's definitely growing more.
Yeah, like there will always have been an underlying fan base of MMA in Ireland from the mid-noughties onwards. But when Conor came along, he exploded the MMA scene in Ireland, and they've taken on so many more fans, and it's made it much easier for us who have tried to watch it. Like, we'd have to stay up and watch Bravo or Spike TV back in the day till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, now, a lot of fellas stay to watch Bravo late at night, but it's for a very different reason. But go on.
But he's made it mainstream.
He's made it mainstream. You know, you can watch it. It's the fights can be on more realistic times for us to watch, and there's just a huge fan base here for it. Now, in saying that, I think a lot of the country has turned on the sport as a whole because of Conor.
No, you see, I've often said this on radio programmes, and I normally get a lash over it, going, is it really a sport?
It absolutely is.
It is 100%.
100% sport.
Yeah. See, now look at the glares I'm getting in the studio here. For
it absolutely is. Like, you're training, they train 6-7 months per fight up to a camp. Do you know what I mean? It's definitely a professional sport.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you consider boxing to be a sport?
Marginally.
Okay. Well, we're on different sides here, Jerry.
But look, I mean, there is a huge commercial element to this as well, Cian. So you will see people watch the sport. They don't necessarily participate in the sport, but there is a commercial opportunity there, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I mean, from us starting this event, talking to gyms around Cork, I mean, and a friend of ours, Liam O'Griffin, who's the head coach in SGB, I mean, again, since Conor came along, and we constantly come back to Conor because he is to...
Other MMAs are available, but go on.
Other MMA gyms are available, yes. But it's because of him, like, the membership rises in gyms, and younger people taking up mixed martial arts has exploded.
Yeah, in the sport. Now, love him or hate him, he has done wonders for the sport, like, in Ireland, anyway.
Yeah. in the world, I would think. I think Europe has benefited hugely from him.
But what would you say to the argument that now kids going along to see this, they're impressionable young minds. Like, is it something that kids should go to? Is it open to all ages?
I used to do it as a kid. I used to do judo and I used to do taekwondo and I did kickboxing.
But there's a huge disconnect in people's minds between judo and taekwondo.
But that's what it is. That's all this is just mashed together. So like these people who are in the cage fighting have studied judo, have studied kickboxing. And that's their game, and they're going to fight someone else who does taekwondo and kickboxing or whatever it is. Like all these sports amalgamate into the one thing. It's
How do you end up with a fella in a headlock and you're punching him in the head? That's not a taekwondo now.
Well, like that's you train to defend that. That's the whole idea of it.
I really enjoy this, by the way.
But the people, and I'm not saying you are, but the people who look the people who would look at the sport negatively would only look at that bit, the bit who has, he has a guy in a headlock and he's punching him, that would last until the ref breaks it up for 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because people only see the highlight reels a lot of these times who don't actually know the sport and don't look at the in-depth analysis of it and what they're doing. They'll see other gurriers punch each other on the floor.
But it's what they're missing is 25 minutes of the intricacies of jiu-jitsu, how technical these guys are and how hard they train at it. And the people, the naysayers who don't like the sport, will only look at Ben Askren being knocked out in 5 seconds from a flying knee or...
Well, a flying knee would take me out as well, to be fair.
I mean, the highlights, that's it.
I don't want to single out poor Ben here because, I mean, that was clearly unfortunate. The draw is going to be able to, the meet and greet. So who do we know who's going to be there yet?
So
have you got
again,
names on the bill?
Ben Askren, he's one of the biggest names in MMA.
Has he recovered from the knee?
He is flying. He's happy out. He said he was fine the next day. It's just, it happened so fast.
Okay, so he's there.
He's there. We've Paul Daly from Bellator.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? He's just an icon of the sport because to me, he was fighting years ago.
Yeah, in the
UFC. He's fought some of the biggest names in the game. We have a few more big names coming. We're going to keep them under wraps for now.
Okay, just a little tease that they will be there.
But then again, those two names alone should be big enough. If you're an MMA fan, you should come to shake these guys' hands, like, do you know?
Yeah. And has this been done in Ireland before? Have we had a type of event like this? Are you guys
We haven't
the first?
Seen it in Europe, not mind Ireland.
Okay. And so, is it done successfully in the US? Where the market's probably a little bit more established.
Exactly, and it's a lot of a bigger net. Like, it's a bigger net for everyone. So, like,
and it's also backed in the States by the bigger organizations. So they're taking less risks. We're taking a bit of a risk here. We feel confident that the audience is here for it. Whereas if someone was to put it on in the States, like the UFC, for example, do these fight weeks and meet and greets, there's no risk involved for them. They know the audience is there. It was one of the conversations we had at the start that is the audience here for it, and we're sure that the audience is here for it.
Well, I know you've had good pre-sale tickets already before you did any real publicity on it. So I mean,
super early birds went out pretty fast.
Yeah, so the opportunity is there to actually grow this maybe and to see where it goes.
That's a
next
3-year
year.
Plan. Yeah, it's a 3-year plan we have is Dublin.
Keep it under wraps. We'll Dublin next. But yeah, we'll be moving on then.
Sacrilege, you're moving it from Cork. Sacrilege. Sacrilege.
Well, again, we'll see what the uptake is. Like, it could be a small Cork.
It sounds like it's going to draw a crowd no matter what. Because the people, my experience is you either love the sport or you hate it. There's very little in the middle. So even if you get all the guys who said they love the sport to come along. And when I say guys, will there be any women at this?
Yeah, our MC is a woman, Lydia. Lydia Desdal, she owns Fight Connect TV. She's a big enough name in the MMA world.
She's an ex-fighter herself.
Ex-fighter.
I think.
So in other words, it's not just a male domain.
It's not a meat feast, like.
No, no.
And on that beautiful turn of phrase, how can people get tickets for FightCon, Jay?
FightConIreland.com.
FightConIreland.com. It's on Clayton Silver Springs, as I said, on leap day of leap year, February 29th, 2020. You have an option there, lads. You could do it every 4 years if you want. Don't know whether you want to exercise that or not. But for now, Jason Woodward and Kian O'Leary, co-founders of FightCon, that MMA conference you're bringing to the Silver Springs. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us.
Thanks a million. Appreciate
Cheers.
It.
My thanks, as always, to all of my guests. Don't forget, you can find every episode of Red Business on redextra.ie, along with the very best in content from Cork's Red FM. Niamh Hennessy produced, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.